Good morning. Please join me in prayer. Bless us this day, O Lord, with vision. May this place be a sacred place, a telling space where heaven and earth meet. Amen. This morning, we conclude our series on the mission of the church, and we look at the consummation of all things. Our text this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, which says this: "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This morning, I want us to take a look at this passage. This is the mission of the church. This is God's mission in the world. We've been talking about it for the last several weeks, this idea that ultimately what God is doing and what God has been doing from the very beginning is working towards that time when all things will be put to right. Last week, we ended by noting that those who made up the early church in Acts had experienced extreme joy. And the question that comes out of that is, how did they experience this? And I was reminded this week of an old Cajun saying that I love that describes meeting Jesus. And that expression is, when someone would talk about someone who had met Jesus, that by saying, describing them as having been seized by a powerful affection. I love that idea. In part, I think it rings true for me because our denomination, our tribe, in part, was founded on the idea or the theological principle that God's primary motivation in sending Jesus was love. This may not seem revolutionary to you, but at the time, one of our founding patriarchs was coming against the theological idea that Jesus came to satisfy God's wrath. And instead, P.P. Waldenstrom says that Jesus came not to satisfy God's wrath, but because God loves us and he desires relationship with us. And it changes the tenor of our whole understanding of the gospel. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. God did not send Jesus because he was angry with us. He sent Jesus, and Jesus came out of love, out of affection for us, out of a desire to have relationship with us. God so desired restored relationship with us that he became human to seek us. So how do we experience the extreme joy that we talked about last week? Well, I would suggest that we revel, we bathe, we swim, we immerse ourselves in the powerful affection that is Jesus. This is important, I think, in this time, in this season that we find ourselves in. Now, in some ways, we find ourselves in this new season that we call pandemic or COVID or whatever it is that we want to call it. But in reality, this season has been stretching on for some time. This feeling of things are just not quite the way that we have experienced them before. And there are ways that we react to that. There are tendencies that we have. And one of the tendencies, unfortunately, that I think the church in a lot of ways has given into is to seek to put things right on our own through all kinds of different means. You maybe have heard a lot of talk in the last several weeks about cancel culture. I would argue, along with some others, that the church invented it. But this idea that we set things right by boycotting people or by canceling them or by electing this person and not that person or that person and not that person. However it is you might think about it, we have this approach where we think that we can do it by positioning ourselves in different ways. We live in uncertain times, and the temptation is strong right now to throw all of our energy behind this party or that president or this candidate or whatever it might be. We are disoriented and fearful for a lot of different reasons, some of them valid, some not. But the interesting thing is that the churches in Revelation knew a thing or two about living in uncertain times and in a really hostile environment. The short verses that we read from Revelation are filled with hope for us now. They give us a window of how it is that we too might live in complicated times. Now, Revelation is a very complicated book in a lot of ways, filled with all kinds of images and written in a style and in a genre of literature that we are generally not familiar with. And unfortunately, we have allowed or been taught that these images and this text are unintelligible or even terrifying. The reality is that Revelation is filled with hope, and that message of hope is helpful to us now, today. We don't have time this morning to unpack all of Revelation. That's a project that would take many, many weeks. But one of the things that I love about the book of Revelation is that in the midst of this time of really specific persecution that those churches were under, that this book, this letter of Revelation, brings the hope of Jesus. And it reminds the church of what the mission of Jesus is, and that is to restore all things, to see things put to right, which we get a little window of in this little, these two short verses give us a picture of what it looks like when that finally happens. We see it in this description. The great multitude of all tribes and nations. That's a picture filled with hope that we need to hear today. This idea that because of the work of Jesus, that one day Jesus will gather all of his people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, all the different ways that we divide each other up and say, we are this and you are that. We are they and you are them. Whatever it might be, however, whether it's by ethnicity or whether it's by language or whether it's by affiliation with this group or that group or whether it's that we are Americans and you are Swedes, or we are Chinese and you are Japanese, whatever it might be, we have all these different ways of dividing each other into us and them. And the book of Revelation comes and it says that when Jesus finally comes and the mission is complete, that he will gather all of his people, a great multitude, more than we can count, of all tribes and nations, every tongue. I think that's an image that should give us hope today. We as followers of Jesus come from every place, from every tribe, from every people group. No matter how many ways that we can devise, and we humans are really good at devising ways how we're different, Jesus comes and says, no, you are all mine. You belong to me, and I will bring you together into one people. Then the second image that I think is so beautiful, it describes in this text that this great multitude are wearing white robes and that they're waving palm branches. Now, the white robes, you'll hear about those a lot in the book of Revelation. The important thing to understand about the white robes, because we can get lost in all kinds of details about who is in this 12,000 and who is in this 144,000 and who is in this group and how did they get white robes and what do the white robes mean? I mean, we can get lost in all of those details. I think the baseline of what we need to understand and remember about those who are wearing the white robes is that those robes are white because of Jesus. Revelation gives us this picture of those who are worshiping, this whole multitude that can't be numbered, that are wearing white robes because those robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Notice that. It's the work of Jesus that gives them those white robes. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus that brings them together. It is not their own righteousness. There is nothing that that great multitude did, not their politics, not their work, not their morality, not their whatever it might be. All of the different ways that we think that we can earn God's favor and we can earn ourselves some place in standing in before God, none of that matters, because the only way that you get a white robe is through the Lamb of God. Nothing that we can do, nothing that the great multitude did gives them those robes other than being welcomed and made whole by the Lamb of God. And this, friends, is good news, because I don't know about you, but I know I can try really hard to do all the right things. And even when I'm really good at it, it's not enough. And for some of us, even and especially when we're really good at it, we might even get to the point where we feel like we've done it. The problem is that we then become impossible to live with. Nobody wants to be around us. We're insufferable because it becomes self-righteousness. The way that we get the white robes, the way that we get included in this great multitude of all of the beautiful people of God, is only through the work of Jesus. Victory will come. Victory will come, but it only comes through Jesus' death and resurrection. Friends, we need this reminder, and this passage is filled with hope because it gives us the vision to see that one day we will see that beautiful sight of all of God's children worshiping Him together. But we don't get there under our own steam. We don't get there because we elected the right person. We don't get there because we voted the right way. We don't get there because we said or believed or thought the right things. We get there one way and one way only, and that is because of the work of the Lamb of God. What we need most is to remember that it's not our positioning, striving, posturing, or anything other than the work of Jesus that brings us into that glorious future. Friends, we long for that day. And the only way, the only hope, that we have is Jesus. And so it's my hope that we become so familiar, so seized by that powerful affection, that we too become a people who are known for extreme joy, even in the midst of uncertain times, because of the work and the love of Jesus. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us in Christ. We ask, God, that you would bring that home to us in fresh ways, that even in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of fear, in the midst of all kinds of pressures and difficulty and uncertainty, that above all we would experience the extreme joy of being loved by you in Christ. And then that we would share that love with a broken and hurting world. Amen.